Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
We can all choose how to talk to ourselves. You can choose to be negative or positive, but what you can't choose is what you do to your body when you consistently use negative language. And if you could look in your body and see what you do, you would never, ever use that negative language again. You might have a day off, but you wouldn't consistently use negative language, because while you can choose it, your body cannot choose the effect it has on you. It has a horrible effect on you.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, he thinks beach cleanups are the best social events ever, Pat Flynn.
Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct-to-consumer pricing, same-day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. Today, we're going to be talking about confidence. We're going to be talking about your relationship with money. We're going to be talking about your relationship with yourself. In fact, how to become successful by lying to yourself. Now, on the surface, that might sound counterintuitive. It might sound like, well, now you're just faking yourself out. You're telling yourself things that perhaps are just untrue, and you know this, and therefore you're just kind of going deeper and into the depths of negativity. But today's guest, Marissa Peer, really brought to light a lot of things that we do to ourselves, things that we say, things that we then turn into reality because of what we believe. And a lot of this belief coming from who we were as children and the things that we soaked up because we're little sponges as kids, and how we can break through those molds and really end up with a life that we absolutely enjoy. We talk about fear. We talk about money management. We talk about selling and our relationship with selling. This may very well be one of the most important episodes of the Smart Passive Income Podcast you ever listen to. And so again, we're speaking with Marissa Peer from marissapeer.com. She focuses on rapid transformational therapy, and she has clients all over the world who are massive celebrities, massive millionaires, really high performance peak people, and she helps them through in a quick manner a lot of what they're going through. And she's helping us today through our struggles and challenges that we have around money and business success, entrepreneurship and relationships and gaining confidence. And it all has to do with telling yourself lies. And trust me, you're not going to want to miss this one. This is session 551 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thanks for being here. And here she is, Marissa Peer. Marissa, welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm excited to chat because you have coined a term, you know, rapid transformational therapy, or that is your expertise. And I've never been introduced to this. Can you explain to myself and to everybody listening, what is rapid transformational therapy?
Well, let's call it RTT because it's much easier to say. But RTT, I've been a therapist my entire adult life. And I always pondered something. You know, if you turn up at A&E or indeed the dentist or indeed the chiropractor in pain, they're going to fix you. If you say, I've hurt my leg, I put my back out, my tooth's fallen out, I've just cut my arm, they will fix you there and then. And therapy says something different. It says when you turn up in pain, it could be physical pain. I could be having chronic migraines that my doctor says are psychosomatic. I could be in deep emotional pain. I could be in the pain of having a phobia so I can't drive a car or get into an elevator. And that pain is exactly the same as physical pain. And I never understood why we don't offer people an immediate fix. Mm-hmm. I've had many clients, one of my clients said, you know, I can't drive on the freeway and I've got businesses all over LA. Can you imagine the embarrassment? I have to tell people, no, no, I can't go on the freeway. People want to lift to work or I'm meeting people and it takes me 5 hours to get to San Diego because I won't take the freeway. That was a lot of pain for him. And when I fixed that immediately, it was all to do with the responsibility. When he first had his newborn baby in the car, he got completely panicked about the responsibility of driving and he couldn't merge in traffic. Mm. We fixed that in an hour. That's probably a less of a thing than someone who says, you know, I can't get in an elevator. I have panic attacks. I have a phobia of birds. So you can imagine how that ruins someone's life. And I don't think anyone's got time anymore to go to therapy for 5 years and talk about their feelings because we live in such a fast world. I can't even wait for that circle to go on my phone and say, oh, where's my other phone? Where's my iPad? Where's my computer? So I think in the fast world we're in, people want to be out of pain as fast as they possibly can. People do write to me and say, you know, that's wrong. Rapid and therapy shouldn't go together. I said, why not? Who said that? Mm-hmm. And why were they correct? We have to challenge beliefs that exist from the 50s and 40s because it's different now. Even the fact people say, how can you do therapy on Zoom? Well, the only reason people think you can't is when therapy was invented in the 50s, there was no Zoom, there was no Skype, there was no FaceTime. Most people didn't even, a lot of people didn't have a phone. Phone therapy and Skype therapy is actually very, very effective. So I just wanted to challenge beliefs that I thought served therapists but didn't serve clients. And many therapists, most are wonderful people. It's not their fault they bought into this. You've got to come to therapy for years. You know, I had someone in my course recently and we did a rapid therapy. She said, my doctor said it would take me years before I could even begin to feel better, which is complete nonsense. She felt better almost straight away. So it was just challenging something that and people believe because they believe it and then think, oh, maybe I don't need to believe that after all.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because when a doctor tells you something like that, you immediately believe what they say because they have the credentials. That's their expertise. So what does that do to us internally as far as the story that we're telling ourselves and how does it actually turn into reality based on what we hear from others?
Well, we know that our thoughts become real. If you believe that you have a sinus headache, if you believe that you always break out in a rash when you're around a cat or a dog, if you believe that you're taking something alcoholic when it's not alcoholic, you will react as if you're drunk because a placebo means the effectiveness of a drug has more to do with what you think it's going to do than the compounds of the drug itself. So you already know that when we think that, it becomes true. And it's a great shame that people are told, well, you know, you've got something complex. You've got bulimia, that's very complex, or depression. And if the presenting issue is complex, then the treatment must be long and complex. And I've never found that to be the case at all, ever.
So you talked about the placebo effect, and I know that in doing some research on your work, you have this phrase, it's, you know, we have to tell ourselves a better lie. Can you explain exactly what that means and how that might help us?
Yeah, because, you know, in my 30 plus years of being a therapist, 34 years, actually, I've noticed that people come in and they all believe their greatest problem is what someone else is doing. But actually, it's the lies we tell ourselves. I can't, my husband is driving me crazy. My kids are making me lose my mind. My boss is a nightmare. I'm shattered. I haven't slept for a week. If I look at a cake, I gain a pound and I can't lose weight no matter what I do. And I'm just not lovable. And all of these things are not true. People say, you know, I eat like a horse. I'm starving all the time. I'm absolutely shattered. I'm going crazy. We have to stop and think. None of these beliefs are true. But the problem is that whatever you tell your mind, it makes it real. One of the strongest forces in humans is that we must act in a way that's consistent with how we define ourselves. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. I'm shy. When we label ourselves, we limit ourselves. So it's important to understand that the strongest force is that we act in a way where we define what we are, the way we're describing ourselves, but also to understand that every word you say and every thought you think is a blueprint that your mind, body, and psyche must work to make really. When you understand, wow, my words are a blueprint and I can change my words. So here's the thing. You can say, I'm chronically tired. And if you just flip that to, you know, I am a little tired, a bit dehydrated. I stayed up too late, but I'm just a little tired, a little fatigued. I've got a headache that's killing me. If you just flip that to, well, that's a lie. It's not killing me. It's a slight headache. I can take a pill and I'll be fine in an hour. If I look at food, I get fat. Well, obviously that isn't true. So we have to get people to see that they're using really powerful words to explain it. My kids are making, I'm at the end of my rope. I'm losing my rag. I'm going insane. You stop and think, you're not going insane. And you know, that comes with the joy of having kids. They're challenging. And if you say, no, they're challenging, but in 10 years, I'll be worried because they're not visiting me enough. So we have to really look at the blueprint. Remember that every word, every thought is a blueprint. And if you just change the blueprint, you can change your entire life. And it's incredible how fast it is. I'll give you an example. One of my clients used to say this word, I can't cope. I can't cope with noise. I can't cope with a packet of potato chips being open because I'm hypersensitive. And I said, well, you're hypersensitive because you keep telling yourself you're hypersensitive. Yeah. And what kind of life do you have? Don't go to the cinema. Don't go to the store. Don't mix because you've told yourself you are sensitive to noise and light. And it's not even true. And when she began to say, I said, I'm going to give you a little game, but I want you to change that word, I can't cope, to I have phenomenal coping skills. I know you think that's a lie, but guess what? So is I can't cope. So is I can't cope with a packet of potato chips being open. That's silly. I want you to say every day, I have extraordinary, phenomenal coping skills. Within 10 days, she was a different person because she flipped her script. And we can all choose how to talk to ourselves. You can choose to be negative or positive, but what you can't choose is what you do to your body when you consistently use negative language. And if you could look in your body and see what you do, you would never, ever use that negative language again. You might have a day off, but you wouldn't consistently use negative language because while you can choose it, your body cannot choose the effect it has on you. It has a horrible effect on you.
How does one cope with the confirmation bias that happens when we tell ourselves these things, right? Like I know that there are days, for example, where I wake up and I might stub my toe and I immediately turn on the faucet and it breaks and I go, oh, today is one of those bad days, and therefore I then, you know, live the rest of the day and actually look for things that confirm that this day is bad when in fact it's just, you know, those were two things that happened and it's up to me. But how do we fight that? Because we could tell ourselves these things, but then these instances happen that we are so used to looking for. We go on a scale and look at those numbers and it's just like, well, okay, that's, I'm just lying to myself now at this point.
There's nothing wrong with lying to yourself. We all do it every single day. It's just lie to yourself better. So we make our beliefs. That's the first thing. And then our beliefs turn around and make us. And then we have confirmation bias. I'm looking for proof of what I believe to be true being true. Every person I meet ghosts me, runs off with my friends. Every job I get, it never works out. Everything I touch goes wrong. Now you're looking for proof of that. You know, many years ago, I was doing a live demonstration in a hospital, and a girl came up to be my subject, and she had a terror of dogs, really a terrible terror. And it all went back, weirdly enough, to the fact that when she was a kid, her stepfather would put her to bed, but he would always he would pant over her, and like nothing really weird, but weird enough that he would stroke her back and he'd be panting like a dog. And strangely, she transfixed this fear into a fear of dogs. So we unraveled all of that and took a look at it and made sense of it. And that was all fine. And I made her an audio saying, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifferent. You're indifferent to dogs. You actually like them, but you're not looking for them. Because people with a fear of dogs, when they go in your house, they start looking, is there a dog bowl? Is there a lead? They're always looking for dogs. Like people with a fear of spiders go, is there a web up there? They look all the time for what they're scared of. And so she came a week later, it was second week back, she came, how are you? She said, well, I don't actually know because I haven't seen any dogs. And so I said, what are you talking about? When we came out of the train station, there was a dog, I didn't see it. There was a dog outside that I didn't see it. And I said, that's interesting because you're not looking for it. So the confirmation bias means we look for what we are scared of. Someone who is scared of birds will be looking for that. Someone who feels that they can't trust their partner is always on their phone checking messages. Who is that? Why are you looking at that person? You don't love me anymore. You forgot my birthday. You spoke to me very unkindly. Someone who believes that they're undervalued will look for, you see what my boss did today? He was very short-tempered. Well, maybe he's having a bad day. It's not about you, but we do look what we have decided is real. And that's very good because you can start looking for something better. And guess what? You'll find it. You can walk through going, no one loves me. I'm finding proof of that every day. But if you flip that to, I am magnetically irresistible. Everyone loves me because I'm lovable. Guess what? Confirmation bias means you find proof of what you are already looking for. And you can play a game with that. You know what? I'm going to decide today. Everyone is kind. People are really actually good people. And I'm going to walk through LA believing that people are nice. I'm going to say, hey, could you direct me to this place? Could you help me here? Could you explain something? And people will do it.
Yeah.
I could even say, hey, has anyone got a quarter? I've got enough money for the meter. People will help you out. Next stage is just like people are horrible, mean, out to rip you off. Everyone's so cold. And if you go out believing that and repeating it, guess what? You'll find that too. So it's really important to change your confirmation bias and make it a good confirmation bias because the rule of the mind says we will make that true.
So what would you offer for the entrepreneur who's listening, who's just starting out, has never succeeded with building a business in their life, who is looking to finally build something and is often using confirmation bias in a negative way to reaffirm that they're not good enough, their audience is not going to pay attention to them, and all these other stories? How might you flip the script for an entrepreneur starting out as far as confirmation bias is concerned?
Well, the first thing is to believe that you have something amazing to offer the world. You need to tell yourself, I've got something unique to offer the world. I've got a gift. I've got a talent. I've got a skill. After all, the guy that was in the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, when he was getting all the planes, the name will come back to me any minute now, is now working for the FBI. So I've worked with many people who were criminals, and they've actually used that skill. They're now working for people that make locks and people that make burglar alarms. Catch Me If You Can was the movie.
Great movie.
So everyone has a skill. We all have a skill, but some of us don't know we have a skill. So the first step would be to tell yourself every day, I've got a gift, I've got a talent, I've got a skill, and I've got a second skill. I know how to monetize my talent because we're so lucky today. There's thousands of YouTube tutorials, so many things you can learn about being an entrepreneur. I just was in a mood filming for a movie in August last year, and it's all about how to be an entrepreneur. And, you know, you're so lucky. You can research all of this online, but the biggest thing is a belief. People who are great at selling believe, I'm great at selling. People who believe they're great at motivational speaking believe I'm great at this, because the most important words you will ever hear are the words you say to yourself. And there are many people out there. Look at Dyson, one of the richest people in the world. He just took an existing vacuum cleaner, watched his wife change the bag, looked at all the dust going, you know, this is crazy. She just vacuumed and now she's releasing dust. And he invented a dustless vacuum. But he took an existing product and made it better. So did the lady who invented Spanx. So a lot of people who are really successful don't invent it. They just take something already out there and they improve it. And I love that. But, you know, you must, beliefs come first, thoughts come first. You think a thought. Your thought dictate your feelings and your feelings dictate your actions and your behavior. So instead of changing your behavior and your actions, which are very important, even your feelings, change the thought first. Tell yourself, I'm amazing. Look at somebody like Tony Robbins and indeed Oprah Winfrey, who didn't come from a college background, didn't come from wealth, but had a belief, I've got something amazing here and I'm going to offer it to the world. And if you believe it and wire it in and fire it in enough, other people will believe it too.
I love that. Thank you, Mir. So one strategy I often recommend my entrepreneurs is to narrow down the focus and just try to get help one person get one result. One person, one result, yeah. Just to make it simple, because when you see that you are actually valuable and you can help one person, it really unlocks, like you said, that now we're using confirmation bias. We have actual proof. We're using first principles to realize we have something of value. We can put it out there. And that's so great. The subject I want to talk about next is really deep. I know it's deep for many people and it relates to entrepreneurs, because entrepreneurs are trying to make money. And oftentimes, a person might know they have value to share. They know they might have the ability to help somebody, but they feel bad charging for it. And it really hurts their business, because if you're not confident because you're having this relationship with money, it's going to be hard for other people to be confident in what you have to offer. And, you know, a business that makes no money is no longer a business. So how do you help an entrepreneur who has these money issues, especially when it comes to how sleazy and slimy selling seems to be for many of us?
Yeah, and selling is such a gift. You know, selling is an art, and confidence is very reassuring. I remember many years ago, I used to commute to LA every 2 weeks, and I was flying back to London, and we hit terrible turbulence, and the pilot came on and said, oh, please don't worry. I happen to be BA's best pilot. I fly this route every week. It's just turbulence. There's a little bit of a trip to Disneyland, and we'll all be through this in 15 minutes. And nobody went, that's an arrogant pilot. They went, oh, yes, we have a best pilot from BA, and he does this every week, and there's nothing to worry about. Imagine if you were sick and you went to a doctor and went, well, I'm not really very good. I mean, I do my best. You know, who knows? You want a doctor to go, I'm the best doctor. You're in the best hands. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be absolutely fine. When you put your kids in school, you want a school that says, we're a great school. We're going to take your kid and help them develop into an extraordinary person. So, don't think confidence is arrogant. It's reassuring, because we feel safe with confident people. And you must tell people you're good. And then you must tell them that you're expensive. Years ago, somebody referred a client to me and came in and saw me. When he went home, she said, how was it? He said, it was reassuringly expensive. And I loved that, because he thought, wow, this must be good. It's expensive. We don't really value stuff that's cheap. No one value stuff they can get in the dollar store. We say, oh, it doesn't matter, it costs nothing. When we save up to buy something, we value it. I've worked with many, many rock stars and quite a lot of lottery winners too. And they all have this interesting behavior. They didn't earn it, they give it away. It doesn't have any value. And so we value something that we have to work for. You see that in dating, men really value women that make them work a little bit to get to know them. They don't value the ones that just turn up and go, oh, come over, I'll cook dinner. Yeah, don't worry, I'll do everything for you. So you have to believe that what you've got to offer is of immense value. And then you have to charge a fee that makes your client see this is of immense value too. We don't value what we get for free. You know, 70% of lottery winners, an extraordinary high figure, 70% are bankrupt in 3 years. Why is that? Because They have no value. They got it easily. They give it away. They don't understand it. The only 30% that keep it are the ones that already had money or got a very good financial investor. So again, it's going back and thinking, what I have to offer is of immense value. I have value to offer. You know, anything you buy without question, we buy stuff that makes us feel good. It's why we buy Nike trainers instead of ones we can buy in Target. It's why we buy an Apple laptop when we could get a much cheaper one. We buy things that make us feel good. And if your business makes people feel good in any way at all, then you can sell that business. And I love the idea of starting with one person, helping one person, because then you think, wow, I helped this, but I did something amazing, one sale. But what you have to get comfortable asking for money. You know, money is energy, you give and receive. And here's something, we could all do this thing, I quite like doing it. So just take a minute, everyone listening, and breathe in. So take a breath and now give one away. Take another one, give it away. So now you have that perfect balance. You are giving and you are taking. And if you feel uncomfortable taking, take a breath now, give it away, but don't take one back. Just keep giving, just keep breathing out and being a giver and give more, breathe out more, keep breathing out. I want you to keep breathing out until it feels so uncomfortable and so unnatural and so out of balance that eventually you have to take a breath.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, that feels better. And you can also practice just taking a breath and not giving at all. It also feels horrible after a while, even though you know you could hold that breath for 4 minutes. Nature requires balance, give and receive. So you have to say, you know, I'm giving a talent, I'm giving a gift, I've got something amazing I'm giving. And I can give and receive. If I'm giving of myself, I need to receive, Jennifer, I need to receive a salary. I need to receive payment because that's balance. And people will pay for anything that makes a difference in their life. After all, if you call out an emergency plumber because your house is flooded, you're thrilled to pay him. Find a dentist when you've got raging toothache, you're elated to pay him. So you have to make a decision that what you have to offer is amazing, is immense value, and that people will buy it if it makes them feel good in any way. And when you can get that right in your head by repeating it, because the mind learns by repetition, I have something amazing to offer the world, something incredible, something that people love. After all, you know, we pay for ringtones, and we pay for water. We pay for stuff that my grandmother would never have. You pay for sour milk, yogurt, I don't understand. She would have been completely baffled by that. We pay for stuff that's fermented. People buy cartons of air. It's amazing what we pay for. But if it makes us feel good, we'll pay for it. And so it's you becoming comfortable. So practice asking for money. Practice saying your investment with this, don't say the fee is, the cost is, the amount. Say your investment with me is, your investment in this product, your investment in yourself, because we like investing in ourselves. So don't use the words price, cost, use the word investment. And using the word investment makes a huge difference. So the biggest thing is practicing the amount. You know, when you say to a client, it's $400 and you kind of, no, you have to say your investment to work with me is $4,000. And then don't say, I know it's a bit expensive. Can you afford it? Just take a breath. $4,000. Yeah, I can do that. Or they might say, you know, actually, no, I can't do that. I'm not a cheap therapist by any stretch of the imagination. But when clients say to me, it's out of my budget, I will often say, well, I adjust my fees for nurses, for students, and I will adjust my fee. But I always give people a little time to say, it's worth it. And people always say to me, you know, this is the best money I've ever spent. I would have paid you more. I trained a girl recently, and she said, the guy paid me for the therapy. They will pay up front. And a week later, I noticed he paid again. I said, it was so valuable. You didn't charge enough. I would have paid you anything for that session. But something else happened to me many years ago. An incredibly rich banker said, my brother has a real problem eating food. It's the bane of his life. Could you give him a session? I said, absolutely. And his brother, the brother was a friend of mine. So he came in, we worked up all this stuff about swallowing, all to do with his childhood. And then he went off. And then his brother said, you know, he needed a second session and he wouldn't come back to you because you didn't charge him. He felt so obligated. You should have charged him. I thought, you know, that's right. I didn't realize that giving him that for nothing made him feel unable to come back and have a second session. So charge what you're worth. Don't be scared of starting high. You can always negotiate down, but you can never negotiate up. Many years ago, I was offered this amazing job on television, and they said to me, how much do you want? And I thought, well, that, what shall I say? And I asked my friend, who's head of a network, what should I do? Should I ask for more? If they want you, they will pay more, or they will negotiate you down. But if you start low, how can you negotiate up? So decide what you want. I want this. And I told them, and they said, oh, yes, that's fine. And that was a great thing that she reminded me. People will negotiate you down. But when you start low, how can you negotiate up?
It's wonderful advice. Marissa, this is game changing. I think a lot of people are going to benefit from this section of the interview. Thank you. You had mentioned in a number of answers based on a number of questions I've asked already, the idea of the fact that our childhood has such a huge effect on who we become in our relationship with selling and money and everything, food, like you said. Mm. And how does one rewrite what has been created for us in the past? I know that I've had a lot of experiences and I can remember very specific moments related to money that my dad and I had conversations about that made me believe that I had to save every single dollar and to not spend anything, you know, from a long time ago. It's true that our childhood has a huge effect and it can be hard to get out of that. How do we get out of those habits that, you know, we didn't even create for ourselves?
Yeah. Well, let's play a little game now. I love doing things like this. So first of all, half of what we believe about money, we learned before we were five. And I want you to think about what your parents said about money. Just take a minute and think, what did they say?
Oh, I have specific phrases.
And that's not hard because they said things like money doesn't grow on trees. We can't find the money. We can't find the money is very confusing to children because you don't find money. Mm-hmm. You monetize a talent you have. I don't know where the money's coming. We can't find the money. We haven't got the money. That leads children to believe, oh, you've got to find money. One day, my little girl said to me, Mommy, you don't have to argue with Daddy about money. You just go to the bank and they give it to you because that's what she saw. You put plastic in the wall and the wall gives you money. So she grew up with this belief that you can always find money. And when she was very little, she said, Mommy, I really want this toy. And I go, well, you're going to have to earn that toy. See, when you get 500 stars, I made a lot of stars. Mm-hmm. You can have that toy. And she found it such fun getting the star. She didn't really care about the toy. But I noticed if I gave a horrible job, like if I said to her, you got to clean the toilet or take out the trash, I'm teaching already, you got to do stuff you hate to earn money. So I got her to do stuff she already liked. Mm. She loved cooking and baking, made a terrible mess. But I'd get her to do things she loved so she could understand that she had a talent, she could monetize it. So that's an interesting thing that we teach our kids. I can't find the money. And you're going to have to go out and deliver newspapers at 5 a.m. in the cold just to get the money. And that doesn't quite work. What does work is listening to what your parents say about money. So let's throw out a few right now. Money doesn't grow on trees. A fool and his money are easily parted. I don't know where the money's coming from. The money ends before the weekend. Tell me some of the things that you heard when you were growing up about money.
Well, I heard things like money is the root of all evil.
Oh, yeah.
I heard things like, well, we can't afford it. And it was always a stress on we, like, well, we can't afford it, right? And those were the kinds of phrases that I heard.
So imagine if you change that word to energy and you said energy doesn't grow on trees. A fool and his energy are easily parted. I don't know where the energy is coming from. We haven't got enough energy. We can't afford the energy. You think, well, that's kind of crazy. But money is an energy. It's a transaction. So say your thought out loud to the screen now, everybody. Just say it as if I can hear you. Say your thought right now. And now say it again, but replace the word money with energy. A fool and his energy are easily parted.
I don't have enough energy.
Don't have enough energy. Spiritual people don't care about energy. Those people with energy have sold their soul to the devil. And you think, well, that's just a crazy belief because we're making money energy. But the beliefs are crazy. You can change your money beliefs anytime you like. I can't find the money becomes, I can monetize a gift I already have. Good people don't have money. Many good people have immense wealth and do. Oprah Winfrey has a school in Kenya. I know many people who have money who are doing wonderful things. In fact, when you have so much money, your only option eventually is to do good things with it because you have so much that you start thinking, well, maybe I'll start a school. Maybe I'll start a charity. I know that Shakira uses all her money to fund animal rescue. And I don't know this great Scottish actor that was in Trainspotting, Ewan McGregor. He's used a lot of his money. Madonna's used a lot of her money to fund an orphanage in Malawi. George Michael was a phenomenal philanthropist, always giving stuff away. And so the good thing is if you think, well, if I had money, who would benefit? Would I employ a gardener, a cleaner, a driver? Would I give people work? Because if you're having money benefits other people, then that's a good thing. And so if you start to write out why you want the money, what you are going to do to get that money, and then who would benefit? You have to thought people say, I'm going to be a millionaire doing what? I don't know, just singing that song, I'm going to be a millionaire. Well, that doesn't quite work. You have to do this in three stages. First of all, and it really is a biggie, you have to make a decision that you are worthy of it and deserving of it. And that is probably 80% of it is that unshakable, unwavering conviction. I'm worth every penny. I deserve to have all this money. And I'm going to do really good things with it. And if I'm going to do good things with it, I'm worth it even more. And then you have to decide, what are you going to do? What is it you're going to create or improve or add to that would give you wealth? And once you can do those three things, you can be unstoppable. But you can't do one of the three or two. You have to do all of them. The big one is the mindset of wealth and not that mindset of poverty. I'm scared to ask for that. It's too much. I don't feel I deserve it. Now I'm holding on to it so tightly in case I never get it again. A mindset of wealth is I deserve this. It's coming to me. I'm giving a lot of it away, knowing it's all coming back again. I'm doing good things. And the mindset of wealth helps you believe you're worth it. The feeling of somebody who will benefit from you having money. And then finally, the real clarity on what does that look like to you? And if you have all of those things, you will be amazing.
I'd love to ask you about this because, you know, we're not just single beings. We have communities, we have families, we have friends and loved ones that are around us as we are trying to become successful and put good out there in the world and make more money. And as I once heard, you know, we live in this world that's sometimes like a bucket of crabs. You can have a bucket of live crabs. When one tries to climb out, the others pull them back down. You'll never have to worry about crabs climbing out. And sometimes it can be difficult because we have people around us who try to bring us down when we're trying to succeed in some way, shape, or form. How might one navigate the relationships they have that aren't so favorable for a direction in life that you want to go?
Well, you know, you have to not let that in. Everyone's allowed to have an opinion. They won't always be your opinion. People might say, that's ridiculous. I mean, I remember training this girl from Wales who was an amazing girl called Shani. And her mum went, that's ridiculous. There's no money in being a therapist. And people have just got to get on with their lives. And this is silly. And then she said, you can't possibly charge that amount. And she was charging, I think, $600 a session. And then a darts player contacted her and said, hey, could you help me? I have this real problem with darts. And darts is very much a hand-eye coordination skill. And she helped him really believe in himself, believe that he could get that dart to go where he wanted it to. She asked him for $600, he gave her $6,000. He said, oh, sorry, I thought you said $6,000. $600, and he gave her $6,000. And he said, you've changed my entire life, and I'd give you even more than that. And her mother still says, but you charged him too much. She says, Mom, he's a world champion. He's making so much money because I helped him have that absolute confidence, that calm clarity, rather like golf, of I'm going to see it going where I want it to go. And if you look at the inner game of golf, And in the inner game of tennis, it's all about the mindset of that ball is going where I want it to go. But you can also have the inner game of sales, the inner game of JV partners. It's going where I want it to go. And when you visualize something going your way, when you think a thought, everything starts to work to make that thought become real, which is why it's so important to think positive thoughts and not negative. But yes, there are people who say you're ripping people off. It's not right. There's someone up the road doing it for a third of what you charge. And you just say, yep, I know, but I have a skill. It's like that classic story we've all heard about someone calling out a plumber. And the plumber came in, she had a leak, and he tapped a nail in the wall and said, that's $100. It was $100 for 5 minutes. He went, well, it's $10 for the 5 minutes. It's $90 for the training I had and the skill of knowing what to do. My friend was selling a house. She got a realtor. And the realtor sold the house on day one. She went, well, I didn't have to pay you all that commission. You sold it really easy. He said, that's what you're paying for, my skill. You don't pay less because I sold the house on the fact. You should pay more because all the stress, everything going wrong, people dropping out. I got that house into escrow immediately, and I'm worth every penny. So when you can really value you, and other people say, well, I think you're too expensive. I think you're charging money for old rope. I don't see why we should have to charge. Healers have that thing. Oh, I'm a healer. I'm a therapist. It doesn't seem right to charge. But you're changing someone's life, and that's priceless. And often when I'm training, I've trained 11,000 students now, and I have people come up out of the audience, and I'll do a live session. And I'll say, Lady, what would you pay for that? And they go, anything. I'd have sold my house for that. I'd have paid anything for that. I worked with this beautiful guy a few years ago who was gay, and he really felt he had to work so hard to make someone love him. And it was all to do with his father rejecting him because he was gay. And he was doing a week-long course with me. And he said, it's amazing. I've already met someone just in this week, and we're getting on real. I said, what would you pay? I would have paid anything for that because I was in so much pain. So when you're giving someone something, stop and think, you know, what is it worth to them? What is it worth to you? And, you know, we pay a lot of money for stuff that makes us feel reassured. We pay a lot of, you know, and I've converted many homes. I would never, ever, ever in my life again go for the cheapest contractor because I have to go for the expensive one that I trust. And we'll say, no, they're not cheap, but they're really good. Getting the cheap one can be a terrible false economy. And I learned that from having contractors in who did the job so badly. I had to get someone in to do it again. So we pay more for skill, for talent. We're paying for reassurance. This contractor's so great. I can leave them. I know. I've seen their other work. I've seen all their referrals. I trust this person. I wouldn't have someone else. It's the same thing if you're getting a nanny for your child. You don't want the cheapest one. You don't want someone who has no skills but is super cheap because often you get what you pay for. So put yourself in that bracket of you are paying for reassurance. You're paying for skill. You're paying for certainty. You're paying for someone to do a great job. And we do tend to get what we pay for, of course, there are exceptions to that rule, but you want to price yourself in the area. And then when people around you say you're too expensive, say, I don't think so. My clients don't think so. I know that I price myself in an absolutely correct way. And you just have to not let that in. There are always people who want to bring you down. I remember one of my contractors said, oh, I was kind of painting outside and I was listening to you. I could do that. I could do that. I thought, why didn't you do it then?
Right.
Why are you a painter if you could do what I do? It requires a huge amount of skill. You have to think fast. You have to have a vast knowledge of what's going on, what makes people tick. But you see, here's the thing that you have to understand. People who are good make it look easy. People who are good actors, good singers, good IT, make it look so good. Well, I could do that. People just stand and sit down and you talk to them and they get better. I could do that. And that's often the challenge because you make it look so easy. People think, well, I can do that. Tony Robbins makes it look easy, but believe me, there are not many Tony Robbins. Many people try to copy him. But he makes it look easy because he does what he loves and he loves what he does. But when you are good at your job, it looks easy. And that's why people don't value it, because it looks easy. But when you ask them, well, come on, then you do it, they go, well, I can't do that. Because they don't understand the skill involved, your gift. If you're gifted at your job, your career, you'll make it look easy to everyone else. But that doesn't mean it's easy. It just means you're exquisitely talented. After all, Whitney Houston made singing like that easy, but Adele does. But none of us could open our mouth and you could see our tonsils like Adele does. She makes it look easy. That doesn't mean it is. And it certainly doesn't mean that you or I could pull off an Adele song anytime soon.
That's for sure. Thank you for that. And you know, that plumber story I love, because you don't really want the plumber at your house for so long.
Exactly.
The quicker they finish their job, the more valuable it is. And we're in an age now where information is freely available, access is everywhere, but it's those who can help you get the job done or get you that transformation more quickly that is of more value. In fact, my favorite online course is only 4 videos.
Yeah.
And it resets my goals for every single year, and it's exactly what I need, and I would pay more for it if I could.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it's a bit like if your car breaks down on the freeway and someone comes out and they fix it in 10 minutes, you don't think, I'm paying you less. You think, well, this is great. I could have been here for hours in the rain and the cold, but you fixed it fast.
Exactly.
And again, it goes back to value your skill. Just because you make it look easy, that doesn't mean it has no value. Anthony Hopkins makes acting look easy, but that doesn't mean that he didn't spend a long time crafting that skill. Or maybe he was born with that skill. Whatever it is, he deserves to be very well paid for what he does, because he makes it look so easy.
Mm-hmm. Marissa, this has been incredible and transformational. Thank you so much for your time today. This has been amazing. Where can people go to learn more about you and RTT and everything that you have to offer? I know you have a really, really cool YouTube channel. I kind of fell into a rabbit hole yesterday watching all your stuff.
Yeah. Well, if you go to marissapeer.com, we have some amazing, completely free audios on wealth wiring, on money blocks. They're free. We don't ask for a credit card. There's no catch. So marissapeer.com, we have free audios and free downloads on money blocks, health blocks, love blocks, success blocks, you name it, they're all free. If you want to do what I do or find someone who I've trained, go to rtt.com. And if you want to join my movement, I'm Enough, because I find so many people, what holds them back is I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not worthy enough. And we have a great site called I'm Enough. We have all these little bracelets and we give them away. And the other thing you could do is read my new book, Tell Yourself a Better Lie. I do love this book. I sound very arrogant, but I know it's good. It's a good book because it shows you, it takes you 10 case histories of people who have fear of wealth, fear of success, fear of love. And it unravels them, but it also invites you to do exactly what I'm doing. It shows you with each person, this is what I did today with Jody. And you, if you relate to Jody, you can do the same thing. This is what I did today with Tina. And by the way, you can do it. And I think it has in it 4 audios that help you, again, remove all your blocks. Because no baby is born saying, I'm not worthy of love. Don't want my mom to spend money on me. A baby, when you're in the womb, it's like being in Hawaii. It's always 75 degrees. You have 24-hour room service. Someone's always there. So babies are born with an interesting belief. I can have whatever I want. No baby says, not going to waste my mum up. She's exhausted. I'm not going to spit out this pea puree because she spent a lot of money on it. We are born with a belief that says I can have whatever I want. And what happens is that belief becomes submerged between other people. Who do you think you are? That's too expensive. We can't afford it. I want never gets. Mm-hmm. And what I do with my audios is reactivate and remanifest and regenerate what is already in you, what you were born with, the belief that I can have everything with bells on. So go to marissapeer.com and take whatever you want and do get this book, because it will show you how to use these techniques on yourself so that you can not only get what you want, you can keep it and enjoy it and help others benefit from it too for the rest of your life.
Thank you so much, Marissa. We'll make sure to include all the links in your book on the show notes for this podcast episode. I appreciate you so much. And I look forward to learning more from you on YouTube and through your book and everything else you have going on. Thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you too. Thanks for inviting me. I've had a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You are enough. You are enough. I absolutely love that phrase. I'm going to see how I might be able to get my kids to put that into their vocabulary, just saying, I am enough. I think it's difficult, especially in this day and age where we are always seeing what other people are doing and always playing that comparison game. And so in addition to the bucket of crabs that we live in sometimes and how much we have to realize that, well, that's coming from somebody else and their opinion, but it is up to us to be able to react in a certain way with relation to those things. It's also up to us to react to what it is that we see that other people put out there. Oftentimes we compare ourselves to a person's Instagram when a person's Instagram is really just their highlight reel. So a lot of these concepts today are really, really important and very, very deep. I highly recommend you check out Marissa's book. You check out her website. We'll have all the links on the show notes. You can find her at marissapeer.com. And of course, all the links in show notes or at the show notes page at smartpassiveincome.com/session551. And hopefully you could tell this was a very important episode. It might be one that you might need to re-listen to or even share with a spouse or a business partner of yours. These are truly life-changing things. And it is the words that we tell ourselves, these affirmations that truly help us become who we are one way or another, right? It is the think and grow rich. It is those things that we tell ourselves that actually transpire and become reality. So thank you for listening in today. I appreciate you. Big thank you to James Schramko as well for introducing me to Marissa. I heard Marissa on his show, Super Fast Business, and I was just immediately inspired and motivated, and I wanted to have her come on the show, and she was quick. And I appreciate her and her team for that. A big shout out to her assistant, Sophia, as well. And I appreciate you for listening in. Thank you for all the reviews that are coming in this year. I see them. I love you for them, and I appreciate them. And I look forward to serving you in the next episodes. We got a lot of great stuff coming your way. So make sure you hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Thank you. Peace out. Take care. And as always, Team Flynn for the win. Cheers. Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Sound design and editing by Paul Gregoris. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski, and our executive producer is Matt Gartland. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include a man who looted $100 million from his own company. Crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.